Okay, welcome everyone. This is Margaret Lynch, and this is class number 6 for the Powerful, Passionate, and Fabulous program, our last class today. In today's class, we are going to move up to the higher chakras because we're going to talk about creativity and intuition. We're going to access these higher faculties that we have through what I like to call the magical child. So we all have, as one of our archetypes, an inner child. And many of you have heard of inner child work and done inner child work. So we're going to be doing a really interesting twist on that today, because your creativity, your intuition, your ability to believe, you know, to almost to think naively, which is the way a child thinks in wonder about the world with curiosity about what's going to happen next, an infinite possibility, that dreams come true, that magic can happen. These are all aspects not of your analytical mind, not of the person that's in you that's more like a manager, your inner manager, as I call it. That's about tasks and execution and thinking logically and thinking practically. Those are all fabulous faculties that you have, but the creativity, the magical qualities that you have, we find through the inner child. So today we're going to be working with the 6th and 7th chakra, but in order to work with the 6th and 7th chakra through what I like to call the magical child, we first have to revisit the first chakra. Okay, so I want you to think about the paradigm of a child, what we know about children. If a child does not feel safe, is that a playful child? Is that a creative child? Does that child even have time to think about playfulness, fun, wonder, and joy? They really don't, do they? Because they're at basic survival level. Most of their body is running with anxiety, fear, maybe panic, maybe terror about actually just surviving. Secondly, if a child, say a child has been raised to feel safe, and they're trying to do an art project, and standing over them is your worst nightmare of a little league baseball coach who is standing over them, screaming at them every single thing they're doing wrong, correcting them, yelling at them, telling them it's not right, it's not perfect, you didn't draw that right, you didn't do that perfectly, what are you doing, that's all wrong. How creative and playful can that child really be? Okay, and so it's the child, this image of the child that really lets us recognize that the two forces that run inside of us, one is, do we feel safe at the most basic level? And secondly, what does our inner critic sound like? How high is that inner manager in us, that critical manager who demands perfection and can be ruthlessly critical to us? Both of those things will lop off your ability to be creative, to really believe or have moments of deep congruent belief in infinite possibility, because really even having moments of belief in infinite possibility are more than enough to carry us through. They lop off our ability to be filled with wonder and awe, which means we're anticipating and expecting and allowing more things to show up in our life that bring us wonder and awe. Okay, so we want to work with both of those aspects today so that we can lighten up some of that and allow the magical child to come forward. So we're going to use a lot of imagination and metaphor in this class. We're going to work with the inner child because it's much harder for us to, how do I want to say this? It's harder for us to resist the work that we're going to do today when we're using some of this imagination and some of, creating and seeing the image of what I call the magical child. So we get better results because we're working with the deeper part of you. Okay. So first we're going to start and see where your inner child is at. So some of you may have done inner child work before, or matrix re-imprinting. If you've ever heard of, if you're a tapping person and you've heard of matrix re-imprinting, very, very similar to the classical inner child work that we learn during hypnosis training, for example. A lot of hypnotists learn inner child work, but it's blended with tapping. So some of what I do will, you know, when I went to matrix re-imprint training, I was like, huh, that's what I'm doing. So you will definitely see the parallel there. Okay. So here's where we start. I want everyone to take a nice deep breath and close your eyes. And I want you to imagine that your mind could paint you a picture of a very young child. And this is you. Maybe around the age of 5 or 6, maybe the age of 4. Just let your mind paint the picture of the age that it wants to show you. And just imagine that your mind really could do that, just like a picture on a screen. And that you could even fill in more detail, your imagination, scraps of memory. Maybe it feels like you're making it up, but you could fill in the details and even see what you're wearing in that picture. Okay. So I just want you to see that little child there and put the child in their home, in the home that you grew up in. And the parents and caregivers are there in the background. So I just want you to get a test. Does the child feel safe? What is their basic level of I feel safe? And just test that. Do they feel safe at a 10? Do they feel safe at a 2? Okay, so depending on your childhood, you know, we'll always have a lot of variation in a class like this. Some people will have, you know, trauma and abuse, and some people will have kind of a standard maybe home life, and they'll just be a little bit of, you know, it wasn't safe for me to be me. Okay, so we just want you to measure that basic safety, and how does the child feel about that? Is there a level of fear or anxiety? Is there a level of sadness? Okay. Now, secondly, and particularly if your child feels relatively safe, I want you to tune into the criticism that went on. So, does the child feel criticized? Or was it perfectly fine to be everything you were? Because when we're a child and all of our basic needs can be met, we could even have loving parents, but criticism can bring a similar feeling of panic, terror, and unsafety. Because we are wired at the first chakra level, at our most basic level, that to fit in with the tribe is of utmost survival importance. So if you were being criticized, besides it breaking your heart, as it can often do, it also will trigger panic and fear, because the unconscious, primitive, illogical fear that the child has is being ostracized from their tribe. Okay, there's something wrong with you, child, means that child could find themselves kicked out of their tribe, which is equivalent to death as a child. There's no difference to the unconscious mind of a child. So I want you to get a measurement on, you know, was it safe to be you? Or was there a level of criticism? And you can even let that happen in the picture. Maybe one or another or both parents were critical. And just see that happen And even if your child did feel safe at first, what happens to the child when they get criticized? Okay, so we're going to start and do some tapping right there and take some of this down. Now, the words, I'm going to use words that go from medium to extreme, and it's okay if the extreme words don't resonate with you as much. It's okay. We're not going to instill anything. Tapping is clearing, and so we're going to have a deeper clearing, especially when we sort of use over-the-top words. It will actually break any fear that you have. For instance, if you just have a little anxiety, but you tap on panic, fear, life or death, terror, it'll actually clear that little bit of anxiety or anxiety faster because it speaks to the unconscious mind in a more emotional, rich way. It releases the emotion in a more emotionally rich way. Okay? So we're just going to start tapping right through the points, and we're going to tap for the child. So it's like we're voicing the child. Okay, so tapping through the points. I'm afraid. I'm scared. I don't feel safe. It's not safe here for me. Why am I even with this family? This isn't how it's supposed to be. I don't feel safe. I'm scared, terrified, afraid all the time. I never feel sure. I'm not physically safe. I'm not emotionally safe. It's not safe to be me. I worry that they don't really want me here. I worry that I can't survive here. I worry I'm not meant to be in this family. I need this family to survive. But there's something off. They criticize me. They only want to see pieces of me. They don't want to see all of me. Not all of me is accepted here. I don't feel safe. I'm afraid, terrified, anxious. It is not safe here. And I'm going to remember this for a long time. My family's not safe. That must mean the world's not safe. Love isn't safe. Relationships aren't safe. It's not even safe to trust. I'm not safe. Okay, and take a nice deep breath. Okay, and so I want to hear from some of you on how it's going. You can start to raise your hand. I want you to look at the child again and see how the child looks now. So tell me how intense it was and if it's come down a little bit now. Okay, I'm going to come to Shari.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. This is my first time raising my hand in this class.
I noticed that.
You know, it's funny. I've never gotten this emotional from tapping before, so I just want to start by saying that. It actually brought tears to my eyes.
Okay.
I grew up in a pretty average home with fairly supportive parents, so I was really trying to connect with that unsafe feeling as a child, but for me it started coming more back to me as an adult. And what really struck me, which is where I got emotional, is when you were saying that it's not safe to love or be in a relationship.
Yeah. So I want you to keep tapping and honor that sadness, because you're feeling what you lost. Sadness is about loss. So what have you lost because of this belief?
Well, I've lost the ability to find a relationship, a loving partnership. And I'm 39 years old, and it's been a really long time since I've been in a relationship. I was married. I'm divorced, which I'm, that's fine. I left my marriage. But I had an unhealthy relationship after that. And since then, I just don't seem to be able to allow love in again. And that gets in the way of sending love and doing things with love. If you can't let love in, how do you let love out?
Yeah, and it's like being able to love, it's about trusting, you know, trusting not somebody else, but trusting that you can that you can handle having some vulnerability and setting boundaries when you need to, right? Having some vulnerability, even maybe getting your heart broken and being able to handle it.
Yeah, okay? That's it. Yeah.
You know, so when you looked back at your child picture, you know, what did you see in there as far as relationships? Was there any unsafety around or not trust around your primary relationships as a child?
Not there necessarily. What came up for me, I remember, and I don't know where this stems from, but I remember being a young child, around a toddler age, and any time I was in a stroller, I felt unsafe. I felt like somebody might leave me, that I couldn't see who was behind me. I couldn't see who was pushing the stroller. And if the stroller stopped for a minute, I would turn around immediately to make sure somebody was still there because I felt unsafe.
Yeah, so that's a great one for you to work with for the tapping. So if you use the recording again, you know, or when we tap again on this, I want you to tune into that picture, that little toddler, okay? Because for some reason at that age, you did not trust that your parents were running the show properly.
Okay.
It's like you had to be on guard. You know, somehow maybe a sibling would push you or something. I know that happened a lot with me. My sister thinks she pretty much raised me because we had 8 kids. She's like, I was the one pushing you in the stroller. And so, you know, some reason you decided at that age, I can't really trust my parents on this one. Those people are going to leave me somewhere. And so you had to be hypervigilant, right? Mm-hmm. So you're seeing even at that young age, you realized, I got to be on this. I got to watch. I got to check. I got to be hypervigilant. Okay, so that will set you up to be kind of a hypervigilant adult, which means you're kind of always on guard. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Okay, so when we tap again, I want you to tune into that child in the stroller.
Okay.
That's where it started. Awesome. Okay, I'm going to come to Yolanda.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Hey, Margaret. I definitely had a lot of anxiety. The safety, obviously, at a 1, and then a broken heart at a 10, anxiety at a 10, fear at a 10, criticized definitely at a 10. I felt terror and rage, and so I could feel like everything around me. I saw myself kind of as a, here it goes back to the little peasant girl. I kind of a little dirty, kind of like a little dirty little girl, and I was never like that. I mean, I was raised in a, you know, like a good home and everything like that as far as I was concerned, but I saw myself sort of as very skinny, and which I was, and dirty and stuff like that. And then my mother had an image of what a perfect child would look like, and she was kind of holding it up, like saying, this is what you're supposed to look like and not like you look. And that image was of like, you know, sort of like a little bit of a more like a fuller little like a little heavier kid with a, you know, like pretty you know, like kind of some idyllic painting picture of her.
Right.
And I didn't match that.
Yeah, you were like Cinderella before she became the princess. you were sweeping out the floor. You were wearing rags and dirt.
Right, almost like, you know, something out of Les Miserables or something like that. It was very odd, and I know that I didn't really look like that, but I guess that's how she made me feel. So there was a lot of anxiety, obviously not matching her desire of what I should look like so that I could be accepted.
Yeah, I think you're tuning into the piece of you, the inner child in you, that you know, your mind is showing you this is the piece that she would never, that would be criticized. This is
right.
The piece you could never be. You could never be, because children don't care if they're dirty. They are playing in the dirt.
Right. And I think that also that wild sort of child look that I've got is part like my creativity.
Yeah, you know, so you can't really, so you're really tuned into the piece of you as a child, because you know you didn't actually look like that all the time, never mind sometimes,
right.
That would have been totally criticized, right? So that
right.
little party of you, the wild child in you, was very unsafe. Okay, awesome.
Right.
Great.
Because precisely we always looked exactly the opposite. I mean, we were always, we couldn't, you know, sit on the floor. I mean, we couldn't do any of that. We had to be perfect all the time.
Right. Yeah. Great. Great example. Thank you. Let's see. I'm going to come to, I've got Wendy.
Yeah. Hi.
Hello.
Well, I had 5 on safe and 8 on criticism, and I was feeling like, oh, this is going to be kind of mellow. And, I started hyperventilating in the middle of the tap when we were talking. It was about not being safe to show all of me and to be who I was. And I'm still feeling, like, really shaky over that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's I've been dealing with that a lot, you know, especially through this whole course.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I'm feeling like kind of nervous about really getting to the bottom of it.
Yeah, so when your body starts to want to shake a little bit, I would what you know, it's kind of like a what we call bioenergetics. Like let
mm-hmm.
your body shake, let it move, let it release
yeah.
that energy that's literally stored in your nervous system. Okay,
yeah.
And that's why I do this at the end, because we've already come through the program in the lower chakras once, and then when we do this class last, we're back at the first chakra in the beginning, and we're able to process at a whole new level. And the reason why I have you do it and look at the child is because, like I said at the beginning, most people will go, no, that's not really going to be my issue, and then they get into the tapping, and it's like, wow, right?
Yeah. Well, like, I'm kind of not surprised because I can't remember very much of my childhood at all. And I know, you know, and I've been dealing with so many issues about feeling horrible about my creativity and just, like, not even being, like, that I have a right to be alive. So much of that has come up through this whole course, but still it's like, you know, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, and when we can't remember a lot, because we know it was a little bit traumatic, it means
mm-hmm.
that we dissociated a lot. And when we dissociated a lot, that means that our nervous system went into the fight, not the fight or flight, but the actual freeze response. Okay. And in that scenario, it's typically where when we access some of this, you get the body shaking. Right.
Uh-huh.
So it's typically when we were as children, we dissociated a lot. So we kind of don't even remember it. We might have just sort of been numb a lot of the time and felt distant from what was happening. It's a coping mechanism. Right.
Yeah.
But when we access that, some of the trauma, it'll create that kind of a shaking and shuddering feeling. Okay. It's almost like a shudder. And what we tend to do is tense against it and go, oh, my God, I'm shaking. I got to stop. And it's like, what if I could just let that energy keep moving? Like, what does my body want to do? You know, and let your body do it, right? They call it in the books that have been written on the neurology of this, and is an amazing neurosurgeon who wrote a book, Dr. Robert Scare, about trauma, and he goes and speaks at the EFT conferences because he's such a believer in how tapping works in this, that from the perspective of the brain, people who specialize in the brain, like neurosurgeons,
mm-hmm.
It's the releasing of that freeze response that's like literally frozen in your nervous system, in your tissue. That's a natural release. Normally, if you were terrified as a child, right, say a child, you know, almost got hit by a car and you saved the child, a child would shake and cry and sob and maybe kick and scream mm-hmm. while you held them. That's the natural release of that fight or flight or freeze response. So it almost like we access that trauma a little bit and you start feeling that intensity. It's like this is what would have come out of you as a child, but there was no one there for you. Right?
Yeah.
That could not have processed this. No one would have been like holding you saying, it's okay, you're safe, we love you.
Yeah.
Right? That's how the trauma comes in.
Yeah. I'm actually pretty comfortable with shaking. I actually practice that. But
good.
I feel like I'm starting to tense against what I might find out.
Yeah, and so you can tap on those words too, okay? You can actually say, I don't even want to find out more. I want to heal this. I don't want more. I'm afraid. I don't want to go there. It's fine to use that on tapping, right?
Okay.
And then see what happens. It usually makes the fear about the fear less.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so never be afraid to tap and refuse, right? To say, I refuse to go there. I don't want to feel this. I don't want to have this. I don't want to clear this. I just want to leave it be. I want to, you know, it's okay to do that. It's part of your healing and it's voicing what you're really feeling, right?
Okay.
Resistance is what you're really feeling. Okay, awesome. So I'm going to come in. We're going to do another round of tapping. I got a lot of people with their hands up, but we're going to jump into another round. So you'll have to raise your hands again if you want to comment on the next round. But I want to jump back in. And so tapping again. There I am as a child. I didn't feel very safe. I felt a lot of sadness. A lot of anxiety, maybe even rage. Some part of me knew that it's not supposed to be this way, that I was losing every day, losing my childhood, losing being me. I lost being carefree and playful. I was too afraid, too sad, too shut down, maybe even too angry. All that energy stuck in my body. I couldn't express any of it. Still, it's stuck in my nervous system. But I'm choosing now to start healing it. It was a long time ago. And I actually survived in the here and now. I'm safe. My nervous system doesn't really know that. It gets triggered with intense energy, both fear and anger trigger my nervous system. And it started way back then. Sadness and loss trigger my nervous system. And it started way back then. I honor this little child that I once was. I totally honor all the fear, sadness, and anger he or she felt. It's okay. No one's really understood, but I understand now. all this old fear, everything I lost, all the games I never got to play, all the things I never let myself believe in. All the carefree days I could have had. I honor the loss of them. The sadness. It happened to me. And I honor it. I honor and heal the past. And I'm letting my whole nervous system know that in this present moment, I'm okay. I'm all grown up and I'm safe. I'm safe right now in my body. Okay, and take a nice deep breath. And I want you to look at the child again. And just notice how the picture may have shifted a little bit. And I want you to notice if the child is now aware that you are there, aware of you, seeing you there with her or him. And I just want you to be there with that child. And I want to ask you, is there any reason in the world that if you had a child like that in your life, that you wouldn't be willing to give them a huge hug and tell them, it's okay, I'm here for you, I'm going to keep you safe? Could you do that for them? Just like you were a wonderful auntie who came to visit for a few days. An auntie or an uncle that you wish you could have had. And so if that feels okay, I want you to go ahead and do that. I want you to be there with that child. Okay? And you can tap through the points or just tap one point. And I'm going to lead you in some things to say directly to this child. And you can say them in the quietness of your mind or you can say them out loud. Okay? Now, if the child is not engaging with you, that's okay. It just means you have a little more tapping to do. You can use the recording and do more tapping and redo this process. Okay? It'll go, you still want to walk through the process with me now, but it'll be even more intense and even more solid if you can get a little more tapping in so that your child's really engaging with you. Okay? And so I want you to just tap again, either all the points or one point. Sometimes I just like to tap karate chop, collarbone point when I do this, or the heart chakra point, which is, it would be right where your breasts are, right across the nipple line there, right in the center, people will tap right on the heart point of their breastbone, okay? And so I just want you to say to the child, I have something to tell you. It's really important, and it's going to be the truth, because I would never lie to you. The truth about you is that you are already perfect and lovable. Of course you are. You're just a child. Not because of anything you do, but because you were born that way. A miraculous piece of the divine. It's the truth. but your parents came into your life with their wounds and their pain. They couldn't give you what you wanted. Maybe they were harmful, but it never had anything to do with you. And you are an eternal soul, which means you have always been safe. You are unending. You always will be safe. And I'm going to be here now. I'm going to hug you, tell you it's okay. I'm going to keep you safe. I'm going to make it safe for you. Just with me here, to be carefree, to be totally you, to feel safe, to play, to shine, because I love you, and I understand. I'm the only one who does. And if that was okay to say, I want you to take a nice deep breath. Okay? And for some people it feels wonderful. For other people they have a little bit of a hard time saying those words, and that's okay. Just a little more tapping to do through the process. But I want you to imagine that you could send the child love. So instead of just through your words, they could actually feel love coming from you like a beam of beautiful green heart chakra light coming right from your heart into theirs, so that they can feel that love you would pour into them, just the way we pour love into children so easily, because they are right from the divine. And let that light flow right into the child's heart. Notice if they're receiving it willingly. Okay. And let it change from green to any color that seems important. So it can be green, it can be light, it can be any color that feels good to you. I just want you to see, how does the child look now? And how do they feel? Does the child feel safe? And with the child feeling a little safer, I want you to ask them, what do they want you to know? What do they want you, as the adult you, to be, to do? What do they need from you? And I want you to really note that information down, because this is a profound message for you in your life right now. Sometimes it seems so simple, it seems crazy. And sometimes it seems like an unexpected message, okay? But these are powerfully important messages for you. And I want you to observe the child now. Now that you've given them some safety and some love, what is the child's first choice to do? What do they do? You just gave them permission to be totally them, totally shine, totally free, totally play. So I want you to notice what they do, and I want you to write down at least two aspects of this child, your inner child, when they feel totally free to play because you've made them safe. Okay, and I want to take some feedback on that. You can start to and let me know what's happening there with your child. I'm just going to come to the webcast here. Okay, lots of people on the webcast, lots of people on the webcast today, you know, that had a lot of intense, you know, childhoods. And so, you know, this is, you know, someone saying, can I really break free of these memories? And tapping, you know, when you've had a lot of, you know, especially terror, tapping is a powerful, powerful tool, and it will take time. And so you want to, in that situation, it's a great time to work with a coach. You know, you can see on my website, there's Carrie, who's one of my rock star coaches, and Bethany also, who has her own business, but she's also totally trained in my work. So between Carrie and Bethany, there's some great coaches available to help you work through some of this stuff, okay? Okay, so I'm going to come back to the line. Got lots of hands up, guys. Okay, I'm coming to, let's see, New York.
Hi, it's Alfie.
Alfie.
How are you?
Sorry.
I'm choking here. When we started, I was a 10-plus on everything with the criticism, not feeling safe. Definitely was shaking, was having a hard time breathing. And it just really made me look back at a lot of the things in my past with not feeling safe with either one of my parents, not being able to sleep. There was an incident that happened. My father was going to, he was attacking my mother with a little, you know how the kids had the little play tables with the chairs where you sit and play your games and stuff like that.
Yep.
And he was going to hit her over the head with this chair, and this voice came out of me as a little kid saying, put my chair down. So he couldn't hit her. But he left the house, and apparently he didn't come back the rest of that night, and my mother blamed me for it, that if I hadn't said anything, you know, he'd have come home. I guess he came home the next day, you know. And I think from there I really couldn't sleep I just started sleeping pretty well the last year, but I recognized that a lot of stuff was, I didn't feel safe with either one of my parents because neither one of them seemed to be very happy about me. They both told their sides of, you know, he wanted a boy, she didn't like me because I looked like him, he didn't like me because of this, and I was always like kind of caught in the middle, and for me there was never any sense of safety or comfort. And
yeah. They weren't actually adults, right?
No, they weren't. And they thought I had lost my mind because when we moved into the last house that we lived in Philly before we moved to the house that they had in Washington, I sat at the table, and I don't know, I was maybe 9 or something, and I said to them, when is Mommy and Daddy going to come home? And they thought I had lost my mind because, to me, they were like these teenagers who fought all the time, weren't loving. And this brought up a lot of stuff for me because I'm not exaggerating. Through my whole life, my mother or my father never told me they loved me. Gee, I still have a hard time saying this.
Yeah.
Okay, I can get through this. Anyway, and neither one of my parents were physically demonstrative ever. So as we were going through this, I realized I forget who it was, but I think it was Wendy. I really understood that freeze part because I forgot a lot of my childhood because I was totally disassociated with a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And because
it's a mechanism that lets you survive.
Right. Right.
You know,
and I've come past a lot of that stuff. This is just bringing up a lot of stuff for
yeah.
me, but I was able to see myself as a child a lot lately, and so tapping through this, it what surprised me was even through all this and all the criticism and all the negative stuff and, you know, lack of love and all that other stuff, I remember my therapist once saying the fact that I wasn't institutionalized was just amazing.
Right.
But I just started like I said, crying, but I saw myself, and I saw myself as this child looking back at me and receiving that, and instead of it being like this intense beam of whatever, it was just like all these incredible colors of the rainbow just going from me to myself as a child. And the first thing I just saw was, and for me to see this to me is just amazing, and it's what the tapping has done for me, is that the little child me was able to just relax next to me in the chair and actually lean on me, because I still sometimes have a hard time being very physical with people. You know, I kind of like sit over here and don't want to get in your space. I'm sure it's because I used to get hit a lot, like, let me move over here and be safe. But, and just smiling at me. And the first thing she wanted to do was go out. She just kind of grabbed me by my hand and just left and just was skipping down the street and on the trolley we went, and not knowing where we're going, but she was very happy.
Yeah, nice. A little adventure there.
I'm happy about that because I feel like that is that. I think maybe that's the beginning of getting back with my creative stuff, even though this other junk, you know, is sometimes still there and feel that. But the fact that, like you said, neurologically, it's releasing out of my body.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a great little metaphor. She wanted to get on a trolley, no idea where you're going, right? And that's
right.
Creativity. You know, other parts of our faculty that's like, well, I need to know where I'm going and how to get there, and I need to map it all out. And that's a great faculty that we have, but it's not that creative, magical side where it's like, I have no idea where this is going. And in this scenario, this gives me this one piece of freedom that I can allow myself, that I don't have to know all the variables and control everything, right?
Right.
You know, there was no mapped course. She was like, let's get on a trolley.
Right.
Right. So that's an important little metaphor for you, you know, to jump on and go into the unknown sometimes without knowing why or when you're going to get there or where you're heading. It's a great metaphor for just allowing creativity.
Got you.
Right?
Great.
I'm kind of dying to see what happens, what you see in the next part. Right. Okay. I'm going to come to South Bosk, Texas. Wilkinson?
Yes, uh-huh.
Hello.
It was interesting when we did the first rounds of tapping, my child is like between 2 and 3, and she's just standing holding onto a coffee table, and she's not doing anything. She's trying to figure out what she should be doing to make everybody else okay, and I can't even see my parents. And during any of this tapping, nothing changed, no feeling, but when I started talking to her, she started kicking me and hitting me, you know, like coming after me.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel emotion about it now, but I didn't when we were tapping. And
yeah.
And then at the end, she did at least come over and stand by me, and I could hug her, but she's still not moving. You know, and I think like several other people, I am very sure I was dissociated most of growing up because I can remember clearly doing that. You just lived in a fantasy world.
So that's what you're seeing. And this is what's so cool about inner child work is that, you know, your mind is painting you the picture of so much important information. That's why I said, you know, is the child even receiving it from you? Because some people have this reaction. They're like, no, my child won't even look at me, right? And so you're seeing a couple things there. You're seeing that that as a child, even at that age, you had already decided to not have any needs.
Right, for sure.
Okay? Because that wouldn't have been safe, right? So for you to...
There wasn't anybody there.
Yeah, so now you're trying to engage with the child, and she showed you tantrum and attack, right?
Yeah.
So there's the wall. So what I would – so I want you to – here's the question. If you were to picture her, a little child of that age, having a full-blown tantrum kicking attack, what would the feeling or the judgment in you be about a child doing that?
Well, I've seen – again, the oldest of a lot of children, and I was really good with – little ones that melted down because I would just stay with them and make sure they didn't hurt themselves. So I've done,
okay.
I know I've done that before.
Yeah,
and that's
so
what
if,
I would do.
But if it's you and your parents were looking, just guess, what would the reaction be of a child throwing a tantrum like that? Kicking you, kicking an adult.
I don't even know.
What would you guess?
I guess to say stop or, you know, quit that or just stop. Stop.
And what would the judgment be about a child who's having a kicking tantrum be?
More like they're bad. I don't know. In our family, it was like, well, they're overtired.
Right.
You know, take them home.
Okay.
But, I mean, it would be not good.
Yeah. So what I would do is I would let go back to the inner child as we're, you know, as I talk to some more people. And I want you to let her have her tantrum.
Yes,
I would. Let her kick, let her scream, just like you said you would be with a child. Be there with her.
Right.
You know, you can even tap and go, she's angry, she's screaming, she's yelling, she's kicking at me, you know, and see how much anger and rage is in that child. Okay? Because right now the child doesn't trust you. It's like your inner child is doesn't trust you, that if I show how angry I am instead of people-pleasing and making sure everybody's okay, if I show the real devil that's in me, you're gonna reject and abandon me too.
Oh, okay.
So let the child have a tantrum and then see what she comes to.
Okay. What she did is at least she started looking around.
Yeah, and so she's come out of the dissociated state. You know, that's your mind's way of showing you she's not as dissociated. Like all of a sudden she's engaging a little bit. She's
right.
More present, right? And so it's really cool, you know, how the mind will show us this picture, and as we tap, it changes. So you've seen her sort of come down out of her dissociated state, and then the battle.
Right.
That she's got this wall, like, no way I'm going to care and let you get in. And now she's a little more engaged, right?
Uh-huh.
And so keep working with her, because you'll be able to have that love connection be stronger.
Okay,
because she is going to be very, very key. Our inner child is key to us, our present adult life, to being silly and childlike and joyful and having fun. And the closer you get to touching your soul, the more childlike you behave as an adult in the most positive, wonderful, light sense. Okay, the most joyful and curious and enthusiastic and silly and goofy, that all are gifts from our inner child. And you see how long ago she shut that down, right?
Right.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, great. Great feedback for everyone to hear. Okay, I'm going to do one more. I'm going to come to Fort Bragg, California.
Hi, Margaret. It's Sandy.
Hi, Sandy.
What I came to at the end there when you asked us what was our little self doing after I'd spoken my, you know, love and protection and safety, she was running in circles with her arms above her head, like thrilled.
Okay.
Like, ah! You know, I couldn't hear it, but that's what it would have been. And I saw myself in this little this red dress that I loved as a kid that I kept wearing until I was bursting out of it. It became a top for me as I got older.
Wow.
You know,
yeah,
I'm not letting go of this. And which is actually, as I say that, that's a pattern in my life. It's like not letting go of this, not letting go of this. And I got, you know, I grew up in a family that was, I mean, I was well loved, and my parents were demonstrable, and, you know, I don't remember, there weren't any bad, and no yelling, there was no, you know, nothing, none of that that I can remember, but there's also a withholding of anger, I think, you know, it wasn't expressed. And,
even the Brady Bunch, right? We can be as perfect, you know, as we try, but there's always going to be something about the tribe that limits the child. I mean, your parents take up all the energetic space, and they set the rules, you know? And so it's like there's always going to be some little aspect for you to free in a bigger way.
Right. And it feels like a big aspect. That's what's so kind of stunning about it. And I, out of looking at my profiles, I'm a charismatic leader, but the secondary is emotionally sensitive and, you know, intelligent. And I have really discovered that through doing your work, how is giving voice to or giving, you know, distinguishing, I am really sensitive, I am really emotional, and I always have been. So that little person, you know, it could be one little moment, and there were little, you know, those moments where they were crushing to me.
Yeah.
And I really I shut down.
It's hard to let go of them, too, when we have that quality. We'll hold on to it for a long time, the hurt of it. Yeah. So I would recommend you two things. When you go back and look at your child with her running around, and I want you to imagine that she is, like you said, she's yelling, woohoo, like let her really open her mouth, because that's going to open up your fifth chakra more, right? Okay. And I would recommend that you pick a time that you can and actually reenact that. Run around your house screaming, going, woo, okay? Actually reenact what your child is doing. I know it sounds crazy, but it's a physical, bioenergetic, it's putting your body in that state, it's opening up that fifth chakra, and that, which is really important for the charismatic leader quality, because it's a fifth chakra dominant.
Yeah.
Okay. Right? I'm crazy, I'm wild, I'm screaming, I'm sensitive, I'm, you know, everything that you are.
Uh-huh.
Right? And just let it fly.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so what we're going to do now we're going to take this to another level, okay? And so we want to get to this point because I wanted to see that the child that you're seeing is now in a happier state. And so some of you will have a little more work to do. The child might be a little bit happy but not all the way there. And that's okay because you can tap through again through the class recording. But we're going to move on to the next part. So it works best if your child is feeling pretty good, pretty free. And again, I want everyone to sort of note down some real specific aspects about their child now that they're feeling good, that they're feeling free. So if they want to go, you know, as Alfie said, get on a trolley and have no idea where they're going, what aspects would you mention about it? Would you assign to that child? What would you say? Are they adventurous? Are they curious? Because these are aspects that you need to start owning more in your adult present life. And by the way, Alfie, I got several people on the Q&A line here that are on the webcast who are writing in on the Q&A line that they really resonate with your story, and lots of tears happening. So just wanted to share that everyone who speaks really helps bring healing to so many people. Okay, so I want you to tune into your child again and just see them there, all happy. If they ran out of the house and went somewhere, you know, ask them to come on back. If they're playing, ask them to come on back just for a minute, okay, because something incredible is about to happen. I want you to take a look at this child and imagine that their energy, their light, their field, the very electric field, their full energy field just becomes even fuller, richer. That beautiful, bright, white light fills their entire field, every rainbow of their chakra. And it takes them, their energy, their vibe, their shine, their divinity comes up to a whole nother notch. Okay, and that light could come from above them, from around them, from the ground. Just let them fill with even more light. And I want you to see how the child looks and watch, because the child is now going to shift. I want you to give your child permission to change into something more magical. An archetype, a mythical character, something from the Greeks, something from the Roman times, something from literature, something from fairy tales, a creature, an animal, a fairy, Just let your child shift and become this magical, archetypal creature. Just see what they've become. Okay, now your mind is going to paint you a picture of the perfect archetype for you, even if it seems strange or confusing to you. Okay? So I want you to look at your magical child and now write down some, at least two, very specific aspects of this magical or mythical creature it has turned into. And notice as the child became this archetype how different the energy is, how full and rich. Maybe it's more strength. Maybe it's more lightness. Maybe it's softer. Maybe it's stronger. But I want you to see this magical child archetype and write down some very specific aspects. Because these are additional aspects for you to start owning in your life right now. Okay. And so this magical child has an incredible sixth and seventh chakra. The connection to all that is infinite, magical, possible, divine. It's magic and impossibility already in this archetype. So I want you to see how this magical child is your direct source to magic, to miracles, to creativity, unbounded creativity. To joy, to lightness of being, we get to creativity through the freedom, the unbounded, carefree freedom to play, because it is in play that we are full of magic and wonderment. Okay, so I want to hear from you guys on what your archetype looks and how it is. And we'll do a little round of tapping first, and I see lots of people are already raising their hand, but I want to do a little round of tapping first on this, okay? Tapping through the points. There he or she is. Wow, really amazing. I'm not sure what this means. I'm not sure this is real. This is my magical inner child. An archetype within me. With power that I've never seen or experienced, with abilities and aspects, strengths that I've never even considered as being part of me. This is the part of me. Connected into magic, the miraculous magic that is the divine, the unknown, the unmanifest, pure creative energy. It's amazing. How can this be in me? It has so many gifts. Are those really gifts for me? I don't see how I could own those gifts. I honor this magical child, this part of me that's been denied. My denied light. I honor this magical child. The part of me I've never set free. The part of me that would have ran the streets when I was a child. In joyful, playful creativity. But it was locked down. I'm glad it's not too late to own this beautiful archetype. My logical mind does not see how this can work. But I'm open to owning this archetype. This magical, mythical child in me. And all of the gifts it has for me. Okay, and take a nice deep breath. And I'm going to start taking some comments, but I want you to just, as you're sitting there, imagine that this magical child has a box in its hands for you. And it hands you this gift. And in the box could be anything. Could be energy, could be a key, could be a word, but it's your gift. So receive that box and open it and see what your magical child has for you. Okay, I am coming to Colorado. Crestone, I think, 719?
Yes. Hi, yep. Margaret, it's Faye.
Hello.
Hi. This is really beautiful. After the last tapping, before this last round, at the end of that last tapping, I started already seeing this child in that same, the light that you brought us into in this last tapping.
Mm-hmm.
The green light from my heart to hers turned violet and then expanded out into the white light of God love. And
wow.
She started having a halo around her head, and then it expanded out to around her whole body. And she got off of my lap. Oh, before she got off of my lap, when I was comforting her and rocking her and telling her she was loved and kissing her head and smoothing her hair, she turned around and started doing the same thing to me and kissed me on the mouth and told me that I was, that she loved me and that she was there for me, because that's when all of the sadness of the loss came from my life.
Yeah.
And then when we did this, when we started to visualize this before this last round, she was sitting back on the floor with her sisters, and the room now was bright light, bright, lightly lit, and her heart was totally open, and now instead of being on guard and vigilant, she was pouring love into the room, into her sisters' hearts, who were also afraid, and into her mother's heart, who was also afraid. And
wow.
The interesting thing is that when I saw her as an archetype, she became a Tinkerbell, and the meaning of my name, Fae, means fairy.
Wow.
She brought a lot of light into the room, and I realized that when I came into this world, my mission was to take that light and that lightness into other people's lives. And it was suppressed to the point where I couldn't pull it out of me myself until recently. That was a really beautiful exercise.
That's quite a gift, right? So we,
yes.
we saw maybe some, I don't know if you listened to the profile class, but
I did.
Often yes. when we do this inner child work and you have a lot of the emotional intelligence specialist quality in you, did that one resonate for you?
I was like three on the list. I think the charismatic leader was first, and the knowledgeable achiever was definitely second, because it's been ruling my life since the beginning.
Yeah. Just because it's been ruling your life does not mean it's one of your primaries, right?
Well, that's really good news then.
Yeah, because we often will see this quality when we do inner child work with the emotional intelligence specialist, that has a strong charismatic leader, is that when we look back at the child, they want to bring healing to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which is kind of interesting, and it's more of an emotional intelligence specialist quality. That's like, because the life purpose of the emotional intelligence specialist is to bring love onto the planet, to embody love at such a deep level that everyone else in the room gets a healing. Okay.
Well, then that's definitely my mission.
Yeah, and that resonates with you. And so yeah. It's really common to kind of see that picture of like, wow, she wanted to bring healing with that light. And the inner child in you, the other thing I want you to notice is she gave healing to her sisters, her mother, and she's like, I got healing for you too. She's not drained.
No.
Right? And so when you're operating a lot in knowledgeable achiever, rule keeper, you're going to be more drained when you try to give.
Yeah.
Okay? But this is the fairy is more this light quality, right? So the fairy's great, the Tinkerbell's great because there's two ways of operating for you. Because when she turned into the Tinkerbell, it's the other side that you can go really deep, heavy into the emotional healing, and then the Tinkerbell is more of a light, airy, right,
mm-hmm.
flitting away, right. Tinkerbell's not that attached to anybody.
Right.
So that could probably be your seventh chakra quality, right? And the archetype, we often see more of that seventh chakra quality. That's why a lot of people see things that can fly, because it's that air quality to the higher chakras.
Yes, I definitely have that air quality.
Really beautiful. Really, really beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Awesome.
Okay, thanks, Bay. I'm going to come to Shari.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. So when we did the round of tapping where we gave our inner child a hug,
mm-hmm.
my child's reaction was to get out of the stroller, hands out in the air, and she did like a spin around and just started dancing, like a woohoo.
Okay,
and
great.
So that was pretty cool.
You heard me say to the other person, right? Like you need to reenact that.
Yes, I did. I kind of went the minute you said that. I said, as soon as I'm off the phone, I'm going to sit down and then I'm going to bounce up and spin and dance.
Yeah,
so
and
I want you to
remember that feeling in that moment. I want you to use it more often in your life, because when you're doing that, you remember who you are. You actually are fearless in that moment. You don't care about controlling everything around you. Okay?
Yeah.
So when you're spinning around going, woohoo, right, you're remembering who you are in that moment. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So when you find yourself getting nervous and I got to check things and control people and manage people, I want you to say, it's time to spin around and go, woohoo.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So what happened next?
Yeah, so then similarly to what Faye was just saying, when I turned into the magical creature, and literally the minute you said it, my child turned into a pixie. and or a fairy. And that's been, I've always had a felt a connection to pixies, and I actually had a dream once, it was a long time ago, that there was a pixie that was trying to give me a message, and she was whispering into my ear, but I couldn't understand what she was saying because it just kind of sounded like squeaking. And I remember waking up and going, but I never got the message, but I come back, I never got the message. And I remember it to this day. I mean, it stays with me that I never heard that message from the pixie. So I found it really, really interesting that that's what my child turned into instantly.
Yeah, and so your dream was showing you that you don't hear your intuition, right? You don't hear that channel's kind of blocked. I mean, it was a real specific dream, right?
Yes.
That you know, that when we have to be hypervigilant and worry and, you know, manage things and you know, like you said, in the stroller, looking behind, and it's really hard to hear our own intuition, to feel our own creativity, to feel that magical quality because we're too busy. Right, just like a child who's like, I got to worry about survival. I don't have time for play. So, so that's really, you know, some really cool messages for you. So the great thing about developing this archetype and seeing it now so strongly is that everybody gets to revisit this inner child archetype. When you need to be creative, when you need to reconnect, you sit down, you close your eyes, you take a few deep breaths, and you visualize. And you can literally say inside yourself, I'm asking you to come into my field, you know, to come up in my field, to come into my field, however you want to say it, come up in my consciousness and see that pixie again. And that's a really good way to connect to that part of you. Okay, and work with it like, I want to hear you. I'm listening, right? Because I have a feeling you're going to start getting some downloads. You're going to start getting some downloads. It's like I always say to people, if you say, I am open to hearing and receiving an inspiration, an idea, I'm open to hearing my intuition, you'll hear it. Stuff, you'll wake up in the middle of the night and be like, blah, 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 why do I need to, you know, why is that so strong in my mind? And so you'll hear it. Awesome. Very cool. Okay, I'm coming to Kathy.
Hey, Margaret. Hey, everybody.
Hello.
This has been a real interesting session. I ended up turning into a unicorn at the very, very end, but I started off with my child, and she was with my grandmother at this Christmas party when I was about 6. And when you had asked us, like, to go, you know, to the house we were living, I didn't want to go. And I kept thinking, I don't belong here when I got there. And I was trying to figure out what the deal was because I had a pretty loving, you know, home life. And then I realized, you know, I think I felt lonely. And I'm an only child. And, you know, it kind of made sense when I thought, okay, I was really happy when I was at that party in my mind. And when I had to come back, everything just kind of seemed dark and I was all by myself. So after we tapped, the room got brighter. And then, you know, when I was talking to her, I told her she's not alone and had her sit on my lap. And, you know, the green heart light energy ended up becoming red, and then it was pink, and then it stayed purple. And then at the end, she kind of got up and did this cute little dance. And she sort of said, like, hey, world, I'm here. And she was feeling really carefree, happy, and adventurous. And then when we did that last round with the archetype, I became a unicorn, and that just seemed real soft and strong and mysterious in a fun way to me.
Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of fun. You can kind of Google and read a little bit about, you know, there's animal. If you study an animal, you can read, you can Google animal totems, like totem pole, T-O-T-E-M, animal totem.
Right.
Because they will have, you know, meanings. But, you know, horse always represents the strength, right?
Right.
And so there's to your magical creative side. There's a lot of robustness and a lot of strength, and it's an earth animal. It's not flying around, right?
Right.
So you got a more grounded earth animal than more like a fairy, which is very light and pixie like and flying.
Right.
Right. So for you, it's kind of like we get what we're supposed to get, what we need in these visualizations and in these processes. So yours is more, more earthbound and more strong and more lower chakra, which is really cool, especially when you have a lot of strong charismatic leader.
Right.
So I do, you know, like I said, I do recommend, you know, when I first started sort of this whole idea of archetypes, and then and letting an archetype come up and be there, it's kind of like, oh my God, like, you know, am I just making this up? Am I just I'm seeing a unicorn? Is that because everyone sees unicorns, you know?
Right.
And it's kind of a thing where you just have to, you know, I came from a very analytical background, so this was really new to me. And you just kind of have to go with it and just not question the process and sit down and go, okay, I'm willing to see my unicorn. Come on.
Right.
You know, what do you got? You know, what are you calling me to? What do you want to show me? And sometimes all of a sudden your mind will just race. It's like the unicorn is taking you somewhere and you're seeing something and you're just like, wow, this is like, now am I making this up?
Right.
And you just have to kind of go with it. You know, I've often shared that when I started doing this process, I would see a werewolf. Like, are you serious? Like, everyone else gets pixies and fairies, and I get a freaking werewolf, right? But it was what I needed at the time,
right?
It was what I needed at the time, and I still call on that werewolf, and I mean, it sounds crazy, but you can say, okay, I need your strength right now, or I need that lightness. I need to feel free and imagine right now, so I'm going to step into that archetype, or let that archetype step into me. And own some of that quality.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's
and
really
also,
cool.
You know, galloping forward, Kathy.
This is very true in light of our recent conversations. Yes.
Exactly. Okay.
Forward. Awesome. Thanks.
Okay, good. I'm coming to Naples, Florida, one of my favorite places. I'll be there in a couple in December. Reese and I will be in Naples.
Oh, wow.
Oh, we love it there. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, we do too. Come visit.
We will.
So.
So how
can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yep. So how did it go for you?
It went very well for me. Tears flowed and everything. I at first I thought, well, okay, I feel safe and I'm okay. And then it was the unwantedness and not being wanted came up for me. So that's where, and then the criticism was really strong. So that went, you know, super high. But she crawled on my lap and received the healing. And like the other lady, the color changed from green to the purple and then like into a rainbow color. And then she ran outside holding my hand, and then we went twirling around out in nature, you know, in the sunshine and stuff. And when you said about turning into a magical creature, she turned into a unicus, which is a combination of a unicorn and a pegasus.
Oh, yeah. My daughter has stuffed animals like that.
Yeah, with angel wings. And then it went flying high in the sky, dove into the ocean and flew in the ocean and then came back out of the ocean and, you know, continued flying.
Yeah, wow. So it's quite a combination because it's kind of an earth animal, but it's also got wings, right? And so you're, you know, and then ocean is always your emotion. Ocean is your second chakra. When you dream about water or the ocean or being in water or over water, that's your second chakra, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all your emotion. So that's you. You know, you kind of can, you go deep into your emotion, and then you can go up to your seventh chakra.
Yeah.
Really, really cool.
It was very,
very
cool.
Cool. Yeah.
Very, very
cool. So, yeah, so it's kind of like a couple aspects in one. Was there a specific gift that the unicorn Pegasus gave you?
She gave me what looked like a lotus, a lit lotus blossom. Like it was all light, but in the shape of like a lotus blossom that melted in my heart.
Wow, yeah, that's because the lotus blossom is the representation of the chakras, right?
Mm-hmm.
And white would be the soul light. So that's pretty cool.
It's very cool. Yeah.
Yeah, really, really cool. And some of the people on the who are writing it on the webcast said that the unicorn is majestic, graceful, flowing, brings hope. Several other people saw unicorns. Unicorn has the ability to make your dreams come true, restore broken spirits. Helps you develop personal power that can be unlimited. So that's a pretty cool thing. A lot of people are getting unicorns. Oh, someone also got a big white bird with white wings. So kind of a mix between, yeah. So, you know, birds are your seventh chakra. So when it's a bird like that, that means, you know, your powerful sixth chakra, because they have the bird's eye view. So you're sort of flying in your sixth chakra. That is very, very cool. Very cool. She also said, this is Doris on the line, as a child, I dreamed or daydreamed that I could fly at the level of the treetops. Me too, all the time. I was always pretending I was flying literally off my roof and flying around my neighborhood. Very cool. Very. Now, you had the Pegasus, so did you ever dream about flying?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I dreamed of both unicorns and Pegasus as separate things. And then this one came as a combination.
Yeah, very, very cool. Awesome, awesome.
It was bright pearlescent type of shimmer color.
Very cool. You know. Awesome, awesome. So very cool. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, so what I want to finish with is, and then I'll take a few more comments, is that this now is something that you have to take. You know, you see that you're seeing the gifts that this magical child has given you. You've noted some real specific aspects, both about your child when they felt good and about this magical creature. So there's some real take-home information for you to think about. How can I own this quality more in my life? What would that mean in my life? And again, sometimes it makes sense to us and sometimes it doesn't, right? But this is your gift. But this becomes your the consciousness about this, the awareness about this magical child in you means that you now have to give space in your life for your magical child to have fun. Because your life, you're going to get off this call, nothing has really changed in it. It's set up the way you have it set up. But now with the consciousness, knowing how important it is to give yourself space to be that child, to be the magical child, to be the playful child in you, that actually has to be created for most people into their life, because we don't really have that built in. We might have TV time, you know, we might have go getting a massage time built in, we might have time reading a novel, but I mean time to let that inner child in you play. That is a conscious decision and commitment. Now, it's never going to line up logically with your analytical mind, because it's not going to check any of the boxes around efficiency, getting things done, reading my email, marketing my business. It's never going to check any of those boxes. It's just fun time. But the only way that you will really have access to this unbelievable treasury of creativity that you have, this wonderment of infinite possibility, the curiosity, the belief of what's possible, to have that really flowing and operating in you, you have to create the space. And you have to create the space without conditions and criticism. So when we're having fun and our mind is going, I'm not really getting stuff done, okay, you have to create that space on purpose, because it's probably not created in your life right now, okay? And this is an area where I can safely say that I am a very good role model. Because I spend at least an hour a day in trickery in my home. It's who I was as a child, and it's now who I am again as an adult from doing this kind of work. I am a pest. I like to play tricks. I like to tell stories. I like to torture Reese pretty much all day long, because we both have offices in the house. And so it's a fun and a silliness and a lightness. And it feeds me to have that silly, childlike way, at least for an hour a day, spread over, you know, 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there. Okay? I play games. I torture him. I tease him. I make up stories, right? It's playful. It's silly. It's fun. And it brings great, you know, on a logical scale, a practical scale, the manager in me, it doesn't seem like there's value to that on paper, but it totally feeds not only my joy in life, but it feeds that creativity in me. I am more creative, more inspired, and believe more because I let myself be like a child certain times in the day. And it does affect everybody. You know, it affects everybody in the room. Reese would work, you know, he loves his work, but he would work 12 hours a day if I did not go in there and play tricks on him. Okay, so it's changed him as well, and it brings out his inner child. So I want you to think about how you can commit to creating time for that inner child that you pledge today to accept and be there for. And I really want you to think about how it can shift in your relationship with your children, with your partner, with your friends. Okay? It's a quality that has an extremely high healing quality. That's why we like sitcoms and comedies and comedians. Right? Because fun feels good. So I like to say that really strongly because I don't want you to come away from today and just go back to your same routine. I want you to have a level of consciousness and decision, make a decision, a choice, that you're going to figure out a way to feed that inner child, to give your inner child space to play, and that it will affect the bottom line in you, both in your money, your business, your health, and your personal joy. It may not seem to line up there directly, but it 100% will affect that bottom line. You will be more creative. You will be more light. And then secondly, as I've already mentioned, to actively, proactively engage with this inner child. Sit down, close your eyes, let the archetype come to you again, and just be there with it. Let it fill you with that energy. Let it show you something, tell you something, ask you something. Whatever that archetype wants to do to work with you, or maybe just be there in that energy, okay? And that is, it's like giving yourself an unbelievable healing. And, you know, it also opens up the pathway to our intuition. It's literally saying, I hear you. I want to hear you. I want to see, feel, and hear you in my life. And it allows, you know, some people believe, including Reese, that we all have multiple guides, angels, ascended masters that are here to work with us, to help us, to guide us. And whether it's your own intuition or it's a guide coming to work with you in the light, this is the way we open up that channel, right? Is I am here to work with this inner child archetype in me for my highest good, for my light. So you're literally consciously asking and opening up that channel. Okay, awesome. Awesome. Awesome comments on the, I'm trying to read as many as I can, the Q&A comments from the line coming in. Someone said, poor Reese, because I'm always pestering him. awesome. Someone also said, Pegasus is concerned with secret places and guarding them. It's always female energy. Someone also asked about if the child has a different sex, and yeah, that's important. If you're a woman and the archetype is more male, like my werewolf was very male, obviously, I was like, oh my God. It's a masculine side of you that needs to be opened more up, right? So there's always a gift and a calling in whatever the archetype is, and the sex of it is going to tell you, is this a masculine, feminine quality I need to own more of, or feminine quality that I need to own more of. Okay, awesome, guys. Well, this has been an unbelievable class. You've all heard about the teleclass I'm doing tomorrow, the live free teleclass I'm doing tomorrow on Ignite Your Power. And all of you that are on this class, remember that you have a free ticket to my event that's also called Ignite Your Power, Manifest Your Wealth. And taking registrations now to hold that free ticket, because there's about 2,400 free tickets out there for people. I know not everyone can come, but there's a lot of free tickets floating around, and I'm only allowing 125 people into the live event in March. It's going to be 3 days of doing unbelievable stuff like we did today. So I'd love to see you all there. And thank you for doing this amazing, amazing blast class with me. And this last one is just a favorite one of mine. So I'm glad that everyone has enjoyed it so much. And I shared all with all of you that I have a werewolf that I see. Very scary. Okay, guys. So I'm going to sign off and say goodbye and be with you on the next class and hopefully on the live teleclass that I do tomorrow, the freebie call. And I'm going to unmute you guys so everyone can say goodbye. Put it in party mode. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.